Now we're going to spend a little bit talking about the myths of restricted carbohydrate dieting. I'm sure if you've ever read an article or an editorial in a popular magazine that attacks restricted carbohydrate dieting, you've probably seen many of the same recurring themes. Most of these writers copy one another and blame lower carbohydrate diets for a series of ills that really have no basis in fact. They're myths, pure and simple. And unfortunately, those writers not well grounded in the scientific fundamentals perpetuate these myths every time they write. Now, we've tabulated these myths from a number of such articles we collected, and we're going to go through them and see if you don't recognize a few myths as you follow along or a few recurrent themes. Now, number one, you read that low-carbohydrate diets contain few fruits and vegetables. Number two, low-carbohydrate diets are largely of animal sources, high in saturated fats. Number three, low-carbohydrate diets cause rapid weight loss of water only. Number four, low-carbohydrate diets raise serum cholesterol. Five, low-carbohydrate diets increase dangerous toxins or ketones in the blood. Six, low-carbohydrate, higher-protein diets damage the kidneys. Seven, low-carbohydrate or higher-protein diets cause a loss of calcium and ultimately osteoporosis. And number eight, low-carbohydrate diets cause decreased endurance and athletic performance. And that pretty much sums up all the ones that we've seen, so let's go over them one by one. We want to do this for a couple of reasons. First, we want you to feel secure that the Protein Power Plan is both safe and effective. Now, if you've tried it at all, you know it's effective, but by going through these myths, we can lay to rest any fears that you may have about its safety.
And not just fears that you may have, but fears that your family or friends may have, because more often than not, when you've tried the plan and you know how good you feel, you really don't have any qualms about it. But your friends may say, oh, say you're out to dinner and you're eating a protein power style dinner, and they look at you and say, what are you doing? Don't you know eating a diet that's high in protein could hurt your kidneys?
And so when you hear that, you'll be able to have some argument for them and lay these to rest. And really, by the way, there's a myth in and of itself that this is a high protein diet. And I didn't even put that one on the list. It's really not a high protein diet. It's an adequate protein diet. Remember, when you calculated your nutritional strategy, you calculated an adequate amount of protein for your lean body mass, so it really isn't a high-protein diet. A high-protein diet doesn't hurt you, but this really isn't a high-protein diet anyway. And the second reason we want to go through all these lists is that we want you to be able to see through all these invalid arguments and statements when you read them in magazines and newspapers, as you surely will. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and start and go through them one by one. The first one, low-carbohydrate diets contain few fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's not the case. If you use the effective carbohydrate content, that counting method that we've taught you, you can easily incorporate a wide variety of fruits and vegetables into your plan. You can eat a chef's salad that's so big you couldn't even eat the whole thing and not even come close to exceeding your carbohydrate limit.
The whole idea that low-carbohydrate diets don't contain fruits and vegetables or don't contain very many really is a myth. And it may have been true in the past before people understood how the food labeling works and how to subtract the fiber out the way we did to come up with these effective carbohydrate contents. And back on the old low-carbohydrate diets, you basically did have meat and cheese, and so you did run a little bit of risk of running into some nutritional deficiencies, but not the way we do it, not on the Protein Power Plan. And as you'll see when you get started, you will get plenty of fruits and vegetables, really probably more than you're able to eat. Myth number two. Low-carbohydrate diets consist largely of animal sources high in saturated fat. That's not necessarily true. Although the Protein Power Plan does contain some saturated fat, it's not necessarily an excessive amount, and people can do very well on a diet with zero saturated fat. As we've mentioned before, we have a number of vegetarians on our program who eat tofu and texturized vegetable protein and a lot of egg whites. So you can really do the Protein Power Program without any saturated fat at all, if that's your choice.
You know, the protein choices that you make really are up to you. If you want to be a vegetarian, you want to eat tofu as your main protein source, well, that's fine. I recall one lady from our practice, and the only two sources of protein that she would eat were shrimp and egg white. Well, she's certainly not going to get a lot of saturated fat in that.
In fact, she's going to get zero saturated fat in that. Now, the third myth is that low-carbohydrate diets cause rapid weight loss, really, of water only.
Now, that one really is foolish. We've talked a little bit before about the diuretic effect of the diet, how it reduces blood pressure very quickly. And one of the things that it does is it causes a diuresis, an increase in the production of urine. But it does this because most people who have insulin problems are already retaining too much fluid, and it simply gets rid of the excess fluid. So at the beginning of their program, they will have a diuresis. They will lose some water weight. But after that initial water weight is gone, things even out. and they tend to lose just fat week after week. You know, it's not uncommon in our medical practice to have patients lose 100, 150 pounds of weight. And I can tell you, unless they were just big water balloons, there's no way that all that weight loss is water.
That's true. And in fact, some people lose 2 and 3 and 350 pounds of weight. And that's not all water either. It truly is a myth that lower carbohydrate diets cause a rapid weight loss of water only. I think people say that because of that initial early diuresis that people have. Now let's look at myth number 4, that low carbohydrate diets or higher protein diets raise serum cholesterol. Now this is what you're going to hear all the time when you tell people that you're on a diet that contains meat. The first thing that's going to pop out of their mouths is that it's going to make your cholesterol go up. And it really is not true. There have been a number of studies that have done a couple of different things. There have been an entire group of studies that have replaced carbohydrate with protein, and many of those studies were done in Canada. And what they show is that by replacing carbohydrate with protein, you can lower cholesterol dramatically. Another whole group of studies have been done, most of these in Dallas, showing that if you replace a carbohydrate with fat, that you can lower cholesterol dramatically.
And that's exactly the point. When you replace carbohydrate with either protein or fat, that means you're eating less carbohydrate. And when you're eating less carbohydrate, your insulin level falls. And when insulin falls, the liver is told to make less cholesterol. And so routinely in our patients and in people who have responded to us from all over the country that have applied this kind of plan, invariably, cholesterol levels fall.
In fact, it's the very plan that we use to treat elevated cholesterol in our clinic. We use the Protein Power Plan for that. And we've had people come in with triglycerides in the 2,000 range, cholesterol in the 4 and 5 and 600 range that respond perfectly and normalize really in just a few weeks, much, much more quickly than they could ever hope to with any drug. And what's more, they do this with zero side effects and zero drug costs.
And there are not zero side effects to any of the cholesterol-lowering drugs.
That's right.
Well, what about the claim that a low-carbohydrate diet produces dangerous or toxic ketones in the blood? I think that's the one they trot out every time they look at a low-carbohydrate diet, that it makes you build ketones in your blood and that somehow that's poisonous.
Well, that's what everybody says, and what that implies is that the person that says that is fairly ignorant of the scientific basis of ketone formation. Now, it used to be thought that ketones really were a problem because type 1 diabetics, those people who have no insulin, develop a dangerous state called ketoacidosis, in which they produce way too many ketones. And in type 1 diabetics, it is a problem. But in all the rest of the people that don't have type 1 diabetes, which is the vast, vast majority of the population, ketones don't cause a problem at all. Ketones are simply partial breakdown products from fat. When the fat cells release fat, it makes a pass through the liver where it's converted to ketones. And these ketones were discovered way back in the 60s to be normal fuels of respiration.
Fuels of respiration. Now, what does that mean?
That means that our body uses ketones to burn for energy. And in fact, if you read any medical biochemistry textbook, it will tell you that if you have a carbohydrate shortage, which is the only time you're really going to see a measurable amount of ketones in the blood, that when you have a condition of carbohydrate shortage, the available fuels in the blood are oxidized in the following order of preference. Number 1, ketone bodies. What that means is that your body prefers ketone bodies for fuel really over anything else, and that's followed by free fatty acids and followed last of all by glucose. And that's right from a major medical school biochemistry textbook. Ketone bodies are perfectly normal fuels, and they're used by many of the tissues in the body preferentially. In fact, the heart, muscle, and kidney cells use ketones preferentially to anything else. They would rather have ketones than anything, including glucose, a carbohydrate. So the whole idea that ketones are toxic is a total myth.
Okay, then let's look at myth number 6. That one says high-protein, low-carbohydrate diets damage the kidneys. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely not. None at all. As long as you start out with normal kidney function. Now, an interesting study was done a few years back comparing people who ate lots of protein to people who had been vegetarians for an average of about 13 years and who ate minimal amounts of protein. And the protein they did eat was all vegetable protein. And what the researchers did was that they compared these two groups of people. They did what was called age and sex cross-matching so that they had a perfect matchup in terms of age and sex in the control group and in the study group. And what they looked at was the normal decline in kidney function with age, which is an unfortunate fact of life, but as we get older, our kidney function falls off a little bit. And this can be measured and has been measured and has been graphed out. And so if higher protein diets truly cause kidney damage, you would see an acceleration of this process. And what the researchers showed in this very famous study was that the lines on the graph for the heavy protein eaters versus the almost no protein eaters was exactly the same. They were virtually right on top of one another. That means there was no difference in kidney damage with age as a function of protein intake.
So what you're saying then is that when they look at kidney function in people who ate a lot of protein and people who ate almost none, there was no difference.
There was no difference. They both had the same normal decline in kidney function that we see with age, so the protein intake didn't make any difference at all. Then there have been several studies that have come out of Germany from a group of researchers who studied bodybuilders who eat lots and lots of protein because they've got to have lots of protein to build lots of muscle. And what those researchers discovered is that not only do higher protein diets not cause a deterioration, they actually enhance kidney function, and the protein itself enhances and makes more efficient the function of the kidneys. So these studies and a number of others like them kind of lay to rest this myth that high protein diets damage the kidneys. That only holds true if you already have impaired kidney function, and even then, you still have to eat an adequate amount of protein, which is exactly what the Protein Power Plan recommends.
Okay, so a little bit of advice here. If you do have a kidney problem, and most people who have one know they have one, and if you do, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat any protein. You'll become protein malnourished. What that means is that you have to be very careful to only eat the amount of protein that you have to have. You really shouldn't go over it. But for the rest of us, the vast majority of us that have normal kidney function, it doesn't hurt our kidneys at all to eat protein.
That's exactly right.
Well, what about the myth that a low-carbohydrate diet that's higher in protein causes a loss of calcium and weakens our bones, making us prone to osteoporosis?
Well, that's really a pervasive myth, and the theory behind it is this. Supposedly, when you eat protein, it's broken down into substances that are a little bit acidic, and it acidifies the blood, and the body has to then buffer this more acidic blood somehow. So what it does is that it leaches the calcium out of the bones to buffer the blood, and then this calcium is urinated away.
Okay, so you're saying that's the theory, right?
Well, that's the theory. The theory says that by leaching the calcium out of the bones, it can end up giving us osteoporosis at a later date. Now, all that sounds great in theory, but in fact, it just doesn't happen. And once again, this has been studied extensively. And what's been found in these studies that have been done over long periods of time is that when people eat a lot of protein, especially meat protein, they don't have any increase in urinary calcium. So in other words, they're not leaching the calcium out of their bones and losing it in their urine, as the myth theory would imply.
And also, if we go back and we look at the bones of our ancient ancestors who were hunters and gatherers, what do we find there?
Well, that's interesting, because what we find when we look at these skeletal remains of hunters and gatherers who sometimes ate 2 to 3 times the amount of protein that we eat today, the amount that's even considered safe for us today, if you look at their bones, you find that their bones were 17% more dense than ours on a given individual of our same height. So when you cross-match people for height and compare bone thickness, you find that their cortical bone thickness, you know, the thickness of their bones, is 17% greater than ours is today, and this on a diet that was very, very high in protein.
So what you're saying is they had stronger bones. They had more robust, bigger, stronger bones than we have today.
Correct. And there have been some studies published recently that are correlating this insulin syndrome, you know, the elevated insulin syndrome, hyperinsulinemia, with bone loss, because elevated insulin makes you get rid of calcium. So maybe it's the insulin problem that we're all so uniformly afflicted with that's causing the osteoporosis, because it certainly isn't the protein in the diet.
Okay, now let's look at our final myth, that low-carbohydrate diets cause a decrease in endurance and athletic performance. Again, this is absolutely not true. In fact, studies have shown just the opposite, that people on a higher fat diet actually have much more endurance. But what about all those athletes that carbo load before they have a big endurance event? What about all those pasta parties before a marathon?
Well, these people are totally misguided, and they're following some outdated nutritional advice. And did you ever wonder why the United States is not competitive in endurance athletic events? Probably because all these same people carbo load and they don't in other countries. In many other countries that do well in athletic events, they tend to fat load more than they do carbohydrate load, because all the studies that are coming in show that fat loading promotes better athletic endurance. The glitch in this whole thing that's fouled us up in the United States for a long time is that when people switch from a high carbohydrate diet to a higher fat, lower carbohydrate diet, there's this temporary decline in athletic performance, but the reason for that is because the enzymes have to adapt to this low-carbohydrate diet.
So the decline is really temporary, right? It's transient.
Right. It's very transient, you know, through 4 or 5 days, maybe a week at most, And while people have adapted to this low-carbohydrate diet, studies uniformly show that athletic endurance increases. In fact, when people are studied to see how long they can cycle to exhaustion, the people that have low-carb adapted always make it much, much, much longer than people that are on a higher carbohydrate diet.
You know, that makes perfect sense when you think about it, because when you're on a higher carb diet, the whole premise is that you're trying to stuff lots of glycogen into your glycogen stores so that you can run on that. But no matter how full you stuff them, they can only get to full, which really only lasts a few hours. You can't run on glycogen for longer than that, and so athletes hit the wall. They run out of steam. They have to switch over to burning fat. But what if they started burning fat right at the beginning?
Well, if they do, they do much better. The other problem with carbo-loading is this. Eating the carbohydrates and becoming carbohydrate adapted often means that your insulin levels are increased, and in the face of elevated insulin levels, and remember from our discussion before, you can't get to the fat in the fat cells when insulin is up. And the fat in the fat cells is your most important and most potent source of energy in any kind of endurance event. An average man that's not overweight, that just has an average amount of body fat, has got enough energy stored in his fat cells to walk from St. Louis to Miami. Now, that's a lot of stored energy, but he can't access it if his insulin levels are up. So only by lowering his insulin levels, which comes about with a lower carb diet, can he adapt in such a way as to be able to really access this stored body fat or this stored energy and enhance his athletic performance.
So what you're saying is that no matter how well somebody's doing athletically on this kind of plan, they could probably do better once they've allowed themselves to adapt.
That's right, and as you well know, that's what we've seen in our own patients.
And so that, again, is just a myth.
Yes, it is.
So when we look at them one by one, these myths all sort of disappear. Does a low-carbohydrate diet contain few fruits and vegetables?
No, not the way we have it laid out. It contains lots of fruits and vegetables.
Does a low-carbohydrate diet largely have to come from animal sources?
It certainly doesn't have to.
Does a low-carbohydrate diet just cause a rapid loss of water only?
No, just in the very early stages when you need to get rid of that fluid anyway.
Does a low-carbohydrate diet raise serum cholesterol?
Absolutely not. It does just the opposite and lowers it.
Does it increase dangerous or toxic ketones in the blood?
Unless you're a type 1 diabetic, ketones aren't toxic nor dangerous, and it doesn't particularly raise them anyway, the way we follow it.
Does a high-protein, low-carb diet damage your kidneys?
This type of diet really has no effect on your kidneys one way or the other.
Well, does it cause you to lose calcium or weaken your bones?
Absolutely not.
Does it cause you to have a decreased endurance or athletic performance?
No. If anything, it enhances your athletic performance.
So, what we're saying is that these are all myths.
Absolutely. These are myths, and they need to be recognized as such. Don't worry about it. You're going to find the Protein Power Plan effective. You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel better. You're going to enhance your athletic performance. So don't let people sidetrack you by bringing up these myths. And now that you know what they are, you can counter them with the truth.
And you're going to need those truths for a long time, because what we're asking you to adopt here is not a change that you take on for 3 months or 6 months. We want you to make a change in your life. You know, if you have an insulin problem, if you have that inherited family tendency, it's not going to go away. That tendency will always be with you, just like it's always going to be with me. That doesn't mean, though, that you have to be victimized by your own genetics. It doesn't mean that you can't take control of the problem and keep it corrected for the rest of your life, as long as you remember the simple rules of this plan.
As we tell our own patients, if you go back to your old way of eating, you're going to go back to your old weight and your old blood pressure problems and your old cholesterol problems and your old blood sugar problems. I mean, what you've got to come to grips with, just as we have, is that you have an underlying disorder that can be corrected with this kind of a nutritional regimen, but the underlying disorder or the genetic predisposition is still there, and you can't correct it temporarily and then go back to the old style of eating that sort of brought it out in the first place and expect it to stay gone. It's going to come back.
You know, it's kind of like if you have brown eyes and you wish they were blue. Well, you can wish it all day long, but that's not going to make it so. You can even put colored contacts over your eyes and temporarily make them a different color, but they're still going to be the color that they were. And that's like this insulin problem. If you have it, you've got it, but you can keep it controlled for life. And that's the way you need to think about it. It really is your job to control it, and it's really not all that hard. Once you know the rules, and we've taught you those rules, All you have to do is apply that biochemistry. All you've got to do is to give your body the tools that it needs, and it will take those tools, and it will heal you, and it will keep you healthy and strong for the long haul.